Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Most gracious Father Yahweh, we come before your presence this morning on this beautiful Sabbath day. We thank and praise you. We cannot thank or praise you enough for the glory that you show, your creation of mankind, and the mercy that you show upon us, especially through your Son, Yahshua. The love you showed us through him, and his love to you and to us through his sacrifice. How great and wonderful that is. How great and wonderful is your name. Hallowed be your name, Father. We come before your presence today to thank and praise you, to keep your word, to obey your commandments, to try to live and be a part of the body of Messiah Yahshua. We ask that you continue to lead and guide us. Continue to educate us in your word. Let your spirit come and dwell with us and fellowship with us on this Passover day, this Sabbath, but also in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let your will be done in our lives. And your will be done in Yahweh's restoration ministry, getting the word out into the world. Your will be done in this country, especially in the world as a whole, as your will is done in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallelujah. Everyone be seated. Shabbat shalom to each and every one. This is Passover Day, but it's also at this time as the seasons fall, as we follow the new moons and keeping the scheduled times as Yahweh has set forward in his word. It also follows that this is Passover Day, and at sunset this evening, it will be the start of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As we get started, we're going to sit back and grab your Bibles, Restoration Study Bible, preferably, a plug. And we're going to read some scriptures. We're going to take a look at a concept of the body of the Messiah. So as we get started, first of all, reviewing, we took Passover last night, recognition of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, but also that was a reflection to come of Yahshua giving his life and his blood for our hope and for a hope of eternal life in the kingdom in serving him. And that's being a part of that body of Messiah. So as we take a look at it, let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, as it reads, says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Messiah? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Messiah?" And here it's talking about the bread and the blood that we partook of last night. But it also says it is not the communion of the body of the Messiah. This is one of the few scriptures that I took the reference of the title of my message from. "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And that's what I want to take a look at today, and us all take a look at, is that one bread in one body, Messiah, that we all are individuals, but we're all of one body. It's a family, and that's the way we should look at it. If we go to Colossians 2, 16 and 17, it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days." Now, this sounds familiar. This is an argument people use against us a lot of times, trying to say that you don't supposed to keep Sabbath, you don't supposed to keep the new moons or the holy days, or it's okay to eat what you want to eat. But you got to understand who is writing this and who is he writing it to and what is it about. It's to the letter of the Colossians, Paul is telling them, not let the outside world judge us in what Yahweh has established in his word. And that is keeping the Sabbath day holy. That is observing the new moon observance. That is the clean food laws that have not been done away with. And the verse 17 says, "Which are a shadow of things to come." But what? But the body is of Messiah. So in clarification, some people have had trouble with Paul. Over periods of time and the way people present things, Maybe sometimes the meaning, and it's been referenced that in text messaging, you can't get the essence of a person's emotions or feelings. You're just getting the words and so forth. Sometimes, like this, within the scriptures, you have to look at the context of what the scriptures are saying, and us seeking here to be a part of the body of the Messiah, we look at it in its context. And we're not being in the body of the Messiah, we're to keep the Sabbath and the holy days. We're to keep these days as they have been presented in the scriptures, as Yahweh had recorded them and had them recorded for us to pass down through the scriptures that we read. And in doing that, let's take a look at something Yahshua said in John 13, 34 through 35. What does he say? He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, this is part of the requirement of the body of the Messiah, and it's one essential that is mentioned quite a few times, in endless times in the New Testament, is love. It's love, and that's what we build in the body of Messiah. That's what we build with each and every individual here today. Those that are out in cyberspace listening, or will listen to this on recording. And although you are not here, and it's great to be here, you are with us in mind and spirit. And Yahshua said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there he'd be in the midst." And that's what we seek for in that body, is being a part of that body and being Yahshua's presence being with us. So we're going to take a brief look right quick at some establishment of the past. A little history that started with Adam and Eve. Now, we're going to go fast forward, faster than any time-lapse photographer could do, or recordings and all, because we're going to jump from Adam and Eve to Abraham. Abraham was the father of nations. Yahweh promised him. He said he would be a father of a nation. And then from Abraham, his son Isaac. And Isaac's son Jacob, which his name later was turned to Israel. And then Jacob had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. I tried to keep up with it. These were his 12 sons. Now, this is a family. This was a family of 12 brothers. Was everything perfect? We can read in the Old Testament, in Genesis. No, it wasn't perfect. What was it? Joseph was sold into slavery. But it was family. And if you'll continue to read in the scriptures, they were reunited in Egypt. And Joseph said that his visions that he had learned through his humble service in slavery, that Yahweh put him in a position to save his family in the future. So this is about family. The body of the Messiah is about family. That started with Abraham specifically, as Yahweh made that promise to him for a people. And then with the children of Israel, I mentioned in the Bible study that Yahweh said he wanted to build a nation, a people that would serve him, and that would be the example, to set the example to the entire world. So of these 12, I sectioned it out here in a way because I got to draw an arrow right through there to David from the tribe of Judah was David. And of course, guess where we're leading? We're leading to Yahshua the Messiah. And that's where the body of Yahshua is. So this is all family. This is bloodline that's been passed down through. And that's what we're taking a look at, is this body of Messiah. But not only the family, we're a family here. And the two sisters that were baptized yesterday, I always try to make it a point when I greet someone in the faith, I say, "Welcome to the body of the Messiah," because now they're family. Now they're sisters and they're brothers. And we're to work together. And we'll see in a minute that we're all different. We're not the same. So now, John 15, verses 1 through 19. Here's where I say, sit back and read. We're going to take a look. We're going to do a little bit of reading in the scriptures with a Southern Georgia flair of accent. So hold on. John 15, Starting with verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, Yahshua makes reference to him being a vine, and we'll go on to see what else he says. Every branch in me that breatheth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that breatheth fruit, beareth fruit, and he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, if we look into agriculture, they talk about especially grapes, but really with any fruit tree, if you prune it, and trim weak limbs or dead limbs or whatever, you strengthen the tree, you get more fruit. My father used to raise strawberries, and he used to have some huge strawberries. And he told me what he did is when he planted a main plant, he would let 2 liters run off from them, but then he cut it off. He would not let no run. You know, a strawberry will keep spreading out. And he would not let no other runners. It'd be the main plant and 2. And therefore, the strength of the plant and those 2 that fed off of it got all the nourishment and all the strength, and it created large strawberries, very large strawberries. So therefore, here in reference, Yahshua being the true vine, and that we are the branches, and we have to be connected. If we're not bearing forth fruit, we can be purged. We can be cut away. But it says here that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Well, now we got to understand purgeth here. When it goes back, you take back to the reference. It is it's the Greek word katheiro. Don't quite get pronunciations correct at times, but it means to cleanse from filth, from impurity, to prune trees and vines from useless shoots. Now, that's what we was referencing to. But if you look at us being the body of the Messiah, if you look at us, what it's talking about is cleanse us from filth, to cleanse us from impurity, that we're supposed to be perfecting ourselves, that we are supposed to try to be perfect as Yahshua was perfect. And as we move on, verse 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now here, Yahshua saying that he is that the foundation. He is the vine. We cannot exist spiritually without Yahshua. Now everything is also multifold. It can be twofold. A branch or vine cannot exist when it's disconnected from the fig tree or the grapevine or the fruit trees. It will wither and die. And the same will we if we are cut off, or if we separate ourselves and cut ourselves off. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, or without me ye can do nothing. And right there is so true. We can do nothing without Yahshua. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So we're good for nothing. We are like here. Let's review just what we read. Yahshua said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. That's what we are. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. As we see this limb here, that this limb, I guess it looks like from a storm that was tore away from the tree. But anyone that's done any yard work, if you'll take and you cut a limb off of a tree and it'll lay there. Some, it depends on the tree. I've seen some trees lay there 2 or 3 days and still stay green. But they'll slowly, the leaves will wither and they'll turn brown. And then the limb will eventually become totally dead. It will not bring forth life anymore. And so therefore, we need to remain connected to spiritually to the body of the Messiah, to the vine. Moving on, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Yahshua is saying here that we are to strive to seek to bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples and bearing much fruit, trying to serve him, trying to obey him, trying to do his will and his way. Of course, now we won't turn to it, but reference to Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 9 specifically states, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And that's what we need to seek to be in this body of the Messiah. Let's move on. Verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Here goes Joshua speaking of love. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So here Joshua set forth that is a requirement of us, that we love one another. Do we love Joshua? Do we want to be a part of the kingdom? And part of that requirement involves interaction and loving one another. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Chapter 14 says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Wait a minute. Let's back up. Verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And what does it say in 14? "Ye are my friends." Joshua here, in just simple speaking, was telling them that he was going to lay down his life for the disciples, for each of us. See, a lot of times we look at this in past tense. But what we need to do is put it forth here that's each and every one of us. Each and every one of us here, each and every one of us, you out there that's listening to this in cyberspace or in recordings, each and every individual, Joshua said that he's going to lay down his life for his friends. That what, if ye do whatsoever I command you, there's a attachment to that. You have to obey him. It's none of this, well, I can do whatever I want to. He knows my heart. There's commandments set forth that we have to keep in the scriptures. And Joshua here foretold that he would lay down his life. 15, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you," or give it you. Now think about this. He said he chose us. He chose each and every one of you. And it's for us to obey his word, to be a part of the body of Messiah. As we move forward in chapter 17, it says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." So here's also a warning to the disciples and to us. And if you look at the definition of disciple, we're disciples. We're followers of Yahshua and trying to obey Yahweh and do. So we fall under this scope as well. It says that they hated him, and we will be despised as well. This is something we take on, but you have to look at the promise, the end goal. Verse 19, "If you were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And I always reference back to when Joshua was standing before Pilate, and he made reference to, Pilate told him, said that, I have the power to let you live or die. And Joshua told him, said, "You have no power without it come from the Father above," paraphrasing. And also he says, "I'm not of this world, neither is my people, or we would fight." So we are not of this world, but we are a family. We stand out different. If we're keeping especially like the scripture we read about not letting no man judge you. We keep the holy days. We kept Passover. We keep the Sabbath. We're going to keep the days of unleavened bread, clean food laws. We call upon the name of Yahweh and His Son Yahshua. So we are different than the world. We are in the body of the Messiah. We are the branches that will and can bear forth fruit. So in bearing forth fruit, let's take a look at what Paul says in Ephesians 4. 1-3 says, I therefore, the prisoner master, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. So we are called. When you came to be baptized, Yahshua was calling. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. There's the reference to love again. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one master, one faith, one baptism, one ale, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. One, the number one stands out there. Let's take a look at something here. Back there, in the third verse, it said, the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace is we all are of one body in Messiah. We are one Spirit in Messiah, one hope, one Master. And I'm just reiterating what we just read. One faith, one baptism, when? One El and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let's go on with verse 8. Verse 8 reads, wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Messiah. We are one, but we're not all one in what we do. As it says here, we're all one in one body, but each individual, whatever our fruits of the Spirit, whatever our talent is, whatever we do, we all have a purpose and a place that we'll take a look at in a minute. But here, separating these, we're not all prophets or apostles or pastors, evangelists or teachers. So, verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Messiah, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So when each individual has come and they seek baptism and they go down into the water, they come up a new man, but there also is a child to learn and to grow. And the body of the Messiah should be a purpose to help these grow and learn and comfort and guide them. It's made clear to me to look, since I've become a father, that how I looked at my children and how I responded to my children and think, but yet that is only a minute speck at the way the Heavenly Father looks at us. When my children made a mistake, did I strike them down with lightning? Did I lash them seriously? And when they did get in trouble, it's the severity of what they did is to the punishment fits the wrongdoing. I don't want to even say crime there because we're not looking at crime. We're looking at just mistakes. A child is to be guided. New people in the faith and the body are the same way. It's to be guided, that we're to lovingly help and guide, and that be part of, just like you do a family. Think about how you feel towards, and it's on the positive side now, your mother or your father or your children. And think of Yahweh being in that position above. Moving on. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is head, even Messiah, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and combated by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Take a minute right here and think about the body. It talks about the body, and we'll look at it more. So your body is made up to where it exists upon itself. There's the body can't exist without the vessels or the heart. The vessels can't carry the blood without the heart pumping the blood. You can't move your arms unless you have muscles and leaders and ligaments. And each one of them is a different position, a different part. Each one has their part. And that's the way we are in the body of Messiah. We all have our purpose. This I say, therefore, 17th verse, and testify in the Master that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Elohim through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Now when we come to be baptized, we're working away from these things of the world. We're supposed to be, we'll take a look at the old man here in a minute, but we're supposed to turn away from all these bad acts that even in the scriptures it describes. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Messiah, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Yahshua, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Upon baptism, we're supposed to work towards getting rid of the old man, the bad things, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after Elohim is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we move on. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Here's what we're supposed to be doing as being a part of the body of the Messiah as we grow. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a chance. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh, for Messiah's sake, hath forgiven you. So, when we came to be baptized, to change our life, we're to put these old things away. But also when we come to Passover, we're rededicating ourselves that if we do find any of that leavening, if we do find any wrongs, that we're to put them away, to get them out of our lives. And you know, I find it kind of interesting because we have Passover. We rededicate ourselves. We seek at getting the leavening out of our lives. But then, right before Tabernacles, we have Atonement, where we make atonement. We have to get ourselves right again. Yahweh, you know, if you really think about this thing, Yahweh must have known that man has a hard time going beyond 6 months. Because twice a year, we have to rededicate ourselves and refocus ourselves. So, but you know what? I see that as a loving Heavenly Father, so that we can try to stay on the correct path, that we can try to stay within the body of the Messiah. Because like that limb, you veer off, it may stay green for a few days, or a person, if we're talking about a person symbolically, he may, if he's misguided, it may take weeks or months or years, but he's on the slow path of death to the body of the Messiah. And so I look at it as though Yahweh in his love has had it to where we have to have introspection right at every 6 months so that we keep realigning ourselves to be able to stay within that body of the Messiah. Now, it says right up here in the 30th verse, says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the Greek word, lupio, which means to make sorrowful, cause to grief, to offend, to affect with sadness. Now, that's what it's making reference when it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. It's to make the Holy Spirit sorrowful, to cause to grief, to offend the Holy Spirit. So we're not to do that. And then if you look down there where it says in the 31st verse, it says, be put away from you with all malice. Okay, sometimes reading over the words, it takes looking at the definitions to kind of understand the effectual meaning. Malice is the Greek word kakia, means ill will, desire to injure, evil, trouble, wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws. Now we see that in the world today, just sometimes just pure wickedness. And this is what it's talking about. Put away from you all this malice. So in review, try to look for effectual pictures. The old man, we're to do away with lying and bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. And I searched, and I just couldn't find the correct picture, so I just put this one in. As a new man, I tried to look for one coming up being baptized, but the world insistently wanted to put that European picture of JC coming out of the water. So we'll just use this new man here. As no lying. This is what we're to put in. We're to do, not only when we're baptized, but now as we continue to move forward here at Unleavened Bread, getting the wickedness out, getting the leaven out of our lives. No lying, angry and sin not, steal no more, no corrupt communication. Grieve not that Holy Spirit, like we said, and be kind one to another. That's part of being in the body of the Messiah, is us, believe it or not, learning to live with each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And also, the diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. Diverse, the differences of administrations, but the same Master. Diversities of operations, but it is the same Elohim. This is what we've just read. We've got wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. These are what we look at in the diversities of gifts. Some of what each and every one of us, not all, there's not one in all or all in one. We're all needed at our level of what we are. 1 Corinthians 1 through 11, or actually should say 12, 1 through 11. If you'll read that at some times, like the 4th verse says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different, in 5, verse 5 says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Master. 6, and there are diversities of operations, but is the same Elohim which worketh in all and in all. verse 7, we'll go ahead and read 7 through 11. It says, but in the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. This is what we were looking at again there in the past. The slide. To another, the interpretations of tongues. See, it's repeated again in the scriptures here in 1 Corinthians. It says, but all these work that one and all self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You're called out, and Yahweh has a purpose. And in a sense, it's each individual's responsibility to seek Yahweh for your purpose. He has a work for each of you. You know, if you're not planted in your heart to understand the truth, to understand, I thank Yahweh daily that he called to let me see the truth of the Sabbath and the truth of his name. Had he not loved or not wanted, you know, there's many out here in the world that are going on right now with their ways, have no clue. There's some that we all know, we've talked about, that we've talked to some, and they have no interest. Some don't want even to hear. We've been out at times looking for the new moon. People will pull up and say, you broke down? Something wrong? And we say, no, we're just looking for the new moon. Oh, yeah, okay. And they go about their way. You know, or more than that, sometimes, with Yahweh's name, they'll ask something, and you'll say, well, the Hebrew name of the Heavenly Father is Yahweh. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, right. And we are called. So we have a purpose. Seek Yahweh to what your function is in the body of the Messiah. All are needed. He has a purpose. That's why we're here. Let's find out what that purpose is. Because I want to try to make it into the kingdom. I suppose that each and every one of you want to do the same in that calling and being a part of that body of the Messiah. Let's look at verses 12 through 14. It says here, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Messiah, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, the sisters that were baptized yesterday, they were baptized into one body of Messiah, the body that we are a part of. We all have been baptized in, that have been baptized, are baptized into that one body and one Spirit. We are all one. In essence, like I said before, we are all family. And then looking at it in family, I look out here and I can suppose in cyberspace, I can think about, I know some that are there watching, but here, everywhere I look, in the name of Yahshua, I see my brothers and my sisters, and I should treat them as brothers and sisters, and we all try to work together. Now, I know I had little battles with my brother, but you know, in the bottom line, he was still my brother, my blood brother. A little comical story. In Athens, Georgia, where I was born and raised, there was a family there. They were big into demolition and junking cars. The name was Alewine. And they were known all over the area. They fought with each other. They shot each other. I'm not kidding. Within, they shot each other, they stabbed each other, they fight. But there was one thing that you could always laugh about. If two brothers or cousins, if they were fighting and an outsider stepped up to say, hey, they both would jump on him because they were blood. They were going to stick together. That blood was going to hold together. And we used to laugh about that all the time because I'm serious. They were in the news and the reports. Every time you turn around, it was one brother or one cousin doing something to the other. And that's still going on today. But we're in that one body and that one brother and that one blood that we're supposed to be working together, not to fight like that. If we go down to verse 27, or actually before we get there, I'll just read to you. I didn't put it on there. For the sake of many slides, I kept some off. Says, if you start in the 15th verse, it talks about, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the healing, the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? But now hath Elohim set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. So let's look at our physical body, an example. Again, we have our heart and we have our lungs. It's essential to have those to live. Some people have lost limbs. They can survive without that. An interesting fact. You have 10 fingers and 10 toes. But do you know your littlest toe, your pinky toe, whatever you want to call it, if you lose that toe, you cannot walk without a limp. So even though as insignificant as you think that small toe is, it has its purpose. And of course, defining that is it's in balance. But every part of the body has a purpose. And sometimes we have to seek out that purpose through Yahweh. But also, you got to take a moment and look at, I've used this example before, your nose itches. Okay, what happens? What happens in a normal person? Well, the brain receives a signal that's been sent through the nervous system, says, the nose itches, you need to scratch it. Well, the brain sends out a signal through the nervous system, back down, out of the brain, through the arm, down through the arm, to exact the muscles in the shoulder, muscles in the elbow. You have to raise your hand up, you know, your finger, and then finally down to the fact that you scratch the itch. It took all of this. I can't, it's innumerable to list all. You have to have the blood flowing through your body, your heart pumping. You got the nervous system working. You got the muscles responding to the nervous system and bending. You got your joints that bend, allow you to bend and turn. And you got all this working together. And that's the way the body of the Messiah is supposed to be. We all work together with our points and our purpose, what each one of our functions is, to work together. Now, if we'll go to here to verses 27 and 28, it says, now ye are the body of Messiah and members in particular. And Elohim hath set some in assembly, first apostles, secondary prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Let's make that a little more profound. Let's look at it again. In the body of the Messiah, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. We just went over that in the scriptures, but I took some classes in electronics, and we had a test every day, and everybody was freaking out that they had a test. And the instructor said, these are just daily grades, but he says, the more you do it, the more it becomes a part of you. He says, the more you take these tests, the more it becomes instinctive within you. And that's what we need to do with the Word, is go over it and over it and over it so that it is in us and a part of us, that as being the body of the Messiah, that we seek out these offices as well as any other purpose that we have. Do you know that there's some in the body that their gift might be just prayer, that they have a sincere seek to Yahweh for prayer, praying for other people? Seek your purpose at how to serve. You know, the end goal is us to be, you know, I think about that sometimes, what it's going to be like for those that make it into the kingdom. That's our goal. I hope it's everybody's goal. That's my goal. 29 through 31 says, are we all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So also here it is saying that we should seek those best gifts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, well, where we're at, 1 Corinthians 12, where we just talked about was the spiritual gifts by many members in the body of the Messiah. We're not going to go there, but just for your references, if you remember 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. It goes on to describe about love and charity and how being that a part of you. 1 Corinthians 14 explains that after love, you got the body of the Messiah in 12, you got love, and then with the 14th chapter it says after that love, after that you love, it's good to desire to prophesy. But then we're going to go on to 1 Corinthians 15, starting with the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Of course, what is that? Yahshua is the Messiah, and he also talked about the body of the Messiah and how to live, what to do. We just looked at what 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 talk about. It says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then, the 5th through the 7th verses, he lists those that experienced Yahshua at his resurrection. You know, the disciples and all that seen Yahshua after he was resurrected. And then, but in verse 8, he goes on to say, and last of all, he was seen of me, this is Paul talking, because Paul's seen him on the road to Damascus, as of one born out of due time. What does Paul say here? This is what I want to reiterate right here. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the assembly of Yahweh. Paul says that, and I'm way below that. I'm way below what he's seen of himself. He says, but by the grace of Elohim, I am what I am. But by the grace of Yahweh, we each are who we are. And part of that love and part of us being in the body of the Messiah is accepting each and every individual for who they are and loving those brothers and sisters for who they are. Back to the earthly, my brother had some habits that annoy me, but the bottom line is I guess I had some habits that annoyed him. From my side, I never seen those, but... Yeah, I guess, I don't know, upon the fleshly thing, maybe I thought I was perfect and he wasn't. But he may have seen it differently. But we're to work with one another. That's the bottom line. In verse 10, he says, but by the grace of Elohim, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. How is that? Yahweh bestowed grace upon him, bestowed grace upon each and every one of us. And how was it not in vain with him? Because he worked to try to spread the word of the evangel. He tried to love his brothers. He sought to serve Yahweh. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of Elohim which was with me. Now, James. We won't read all of James, but read it sometime. All of James, and we'll take and look at just a little bit of it as we move forward here. It says, think about what I want to bring the kind here. If you'll read James, it talks about the summation of one thing that we have to work at in the body of the Messiah is it talks about our tongue and how vicious our tongue can be. So read that at time and through 16. I'll start at 13. It says, "Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness and wisdom, of wisdom." So we have to show wisdom. We have to work with meekness. It says, But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So we have to work against that. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, is what they're just talking about. It says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." But here in James 5, 17 through 18 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So there will be love and there will be peace if we work to try to be a part of the body of the Messiah." Now, Romans 7, 4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Messiah, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto Elohim." And that's what we did when we were baptized, and that's what we seek to stay as we rededicate ourselves at the time of Passover and also at the time of atonement, is to be a part of that body, to be married to Yahshua, and to do the good and to seek the fruits of the Spirit so that we can maintain being in that body of the Messiah. And then in Romans 11, 13 through 25, it says, "For I speak to you Gentiles." Here it references back to the Gentiles when they're talking about the Gentiles and also the Jews. It says, "Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my own office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are by my flesh and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Now he's talking about the Gentiles with the Jews, but also that's part of our duty too with each and every individual, is welcoming and being a part of the body of the Messiah, a part of the family. "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." And that's what we seek to be, as a part of the Messiah through the branches. And if we read on, for time's sake, if you go on down, it talks about here, when he's referencing the Gentiles, but also, and this can happen too, twofold to us too. If you boast about it, then you can be made not apart. You can be severed from that body. But also, there's what happened. They talked about, I wanted to get to it real quick, about being grafted in. Now, there goes to an agricultural term that you don't see much anymore. But to be grafted in is when we are grafted in. If you continue to read the rest of Romans, I'll move forward. But in the grafting in, we'll move up to... says right here in the 24th verse, "For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" So we're trying to be, there are those that are grafted into the to that vine. And in grafting, did you know that of the same species, this particular citrus, you can take a citrus tree, let's say an orange tree, and you can take a lemon, a limb from a lemon tree and graft it in, and a limb from a lime and a limb from a grapefruit, and here's what you get. In one tree, you can grow all those fruits because it becomes part of that tree, because it's compatible, becomes part of that body. And there's a little more clear picture of a tree growing more than one fruit. There's another side of it. And then also there's two apples growing together on one little tree. And let's just balance it out, the whole thing, so the same apples there. But the point of being grafted in, where Paul's talking about grafting in the Gentiles, but also that's anybody coming into the body of the Messiah so that we can bear fruit together. That'd be kind of amazing to have a... This is all through the creation of Yahweh. But to have a tree say, I'll have a lemon today, or an orange, or whatever, to have a multiple fruit tree. Interesting. Ephesians. As we draw to a close here, in Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Yahshua, Messiah, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of Elohim, which is given me to you, ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Messiah, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in spirit, as we're educated, as we learn, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Messiah by the good news. For each that becomes baptized in the name of Messiah becomes a body of the Messiah. We have that hope of being fellow heirs that Paul had spoke of that has been promised by Yahshua. So now, being us here in the body of the Messiah, what does Yahweh speak through Peter in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, which we seen last week? 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Do you want to be his people? Do you want to be a part of building his nation, him building his nation? That's what he has sought to do from the time of the children of Israel in the wilderness. He told them that he wanted to build the nation, to lead all nations, to teach and educate all nations. And that's what we are in the body of the Messiah. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, by obeying his word and keeping his truth. So, by being in the body of the Messiah, let each one of us work diligently at being a good branch in the true vine that bears forth good fruits. Fruits of the Spirit through love. Each one of us working to be a peculiar and a special chosen body of believers, seeking to serve Yahweh in the body of the Messiah. And may Yahweh bless. Hallelujah.